Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Please be seated. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I had an afterthought to last Sunday's sermon. We did reflect upon the Chair of Unity Octave and praying for our non-Catholic brethren that they be converted to the faith. And the point I wanted to include and didn't do at the sermon at 8 o'clock is I think we need to remember the mercy of God that will save the souls of perhaps those that we may not think made it or, you know, qualify, so to speak. But we never know what goes on for sure inside someone's heart and mind. And we know that if someone has in his heart the sentiments of Jesus, I want to believe in thee and everything thou taught and also have perfect contrition for one's sins, that person is joined to the church by desire. And this would be the understanding that St. Alphonsus Liguori, the great doctor of the church, especially in regards to prayer, who says that even implicit baptism of desire suffices to save somebody's soul. So it might be good to remember those two dispositions that, you know, when we're trying to help others, make sure that we get across that idea. We have to believe in Christ and the totality of his teachings. We can't just say, I believe in the Lord and that's enough. No, we have to believe in all that the good Lord taught. So that's supernatural faith right there. And then perfect contrition, as we know, that does forgive mortal sin, even before one approaches the sacrament of penance. And if somebody makes that act of perfect contrition for all one's mortal sins, being sorry not just out of fear but out of love, being sorry for how he's hurt God by his sins, well, that will have it get his sins forgiven. So I think it's important that we remember that and how the mercy of God will save those unbeknownst to us. Obviously, we cannot see what God sees and, of course, do our part to be the best Catholics that we can be, living our faith and sharing it with others. A couple of weeks ago, I guess that was last week, and I'm going back now 2 weeks, we reflected upon the marriage feast of Cana. And I concluded my sermon on the state of marriage, the sacrament of matrimony, by saying I would like to talk further about the hedges that need to surround this good and holy thing called marriage. And didn't have time then, and I would like to explore this topic in today's sermon, and I probably won't get finished on time, so we'll let it go till next time. But that's all right. We have the feast. It is a feast in the Catholic Church calendar of St. Valentine. We celebrate Valentine's Day. We're going to have a Valentine's Day event here, by the way. That information is in the bulletin. So even if it takes 2 or 3 Sundays, it will be a good thing to reflect upon how to protect, how to safeguard, how to help make marriages stronger and better and holier. And I would also like to say in this regard, if you have ideas that can be shared, let me know. I can include them in the sermon. Hedges that you are aware of, things that protect and have made your marriage stronger and better, I would certainly be most welcoming of any ideas you have in that regard, and hopefully can share them with the parish as well. So what is a hedge? might also ask in that same vein, what's offense? What's the purpose of offense? Why do we have a fence around St. Isidore's community garden? It's very easy to see why. If we didn't fence it in, it would be destroyed. The work that is being done would be undone. It would be damaged. It would be hurt. So just as we need fences to protect what we have, so in the spiritual realm, in the metaphysical realm, if you want to put it that way, we need fences. They keep harm away. And so when we're reflecting upon marriage, we recognize that we need hedges, we need fences. And I won't even go there to show all the damage that happens. You can see it for yourselves. And I want this sermon or sermons to be positive, to be uplifting, to be helpful. How to help you to sanctify yourselves, those of you that are called to this vocation, how to be better within it. So here are some hedges that I have read about, gleaned from various sources. And they all seem quite common sense and can only help. First of all, prayer. And here we go to Father Patrick Peyton's, one of his mottos for the Rosary Crusade, the family that prays together stays together. As human beings, as fallen human beings, we have to recognize that we do not have all the answers. We do not have the strength that we need to do what's right. And when the challenges of married life present themselves and you find yourself unable to resolve one thing or another, that's where more prayer is needed. Yes, my dear brethren, we solve problems on our knees. And I think God gives us plenty of opportunities to have this lesson reinforced in our lives. When things fail, when we have irresolvable problems, we fall on our face, and we look back and we realize, I didn't get on my knees. My prayer life isn't what it should be. And because of that, these struggles continue to be. So I cannot think of anything more important hedge, if you will, than to talk about prayer. And not only prayer separately as husband and wife, but prayer together. It is a most spiritually building thing to pray together. And especially if it's a moment of or time of tension and difficulty, if you can just say, we can't resolve this right now, but let's pray together. Even if it's an Our Father and a Hail Mary. Pray it together. Pray it in moments of stress, in moments of difficulty, when the resolution simply doesn't seem to be coming your way. And again, what more important thing to teach the children? That prayer is the great staff that will help them get through life. I'm so grateful to my parents who, through their prayer life, helped me to have a strong prayer life. There was a lot of prayer in our family life. I thought there was way too much, I'm sure, at times when I was growing up. But when I look back on it, I saw that they weren't just concerned about feeding my body and taking care of my bodily needs. They were sure to take care of my soul's needs, to make sure my soul wasn't starving. So we had plenty of food, spiritual food available. They loved the daily Mass. They went to Mass at great cost, even structuring their whole day around it. You've heard me talk about the rosary, how that was such a part of our family life, morning and night prayers. Although if I managed to get out of it, it didn't bother me very much, I have to say. And then I realized that at a certain point in my high school years, I realized I couldn't just do prayer because my parents were making me to. I had to make a conscious choice that I am going to pray regardless. And I think that was one of the real turning points in my life. Even though my parents were doing their duty in teaching me how to pray, I had to personally choose. So that's, I guess I'm speaking to you young people, you teenagers, you young adults. At a certain point, you have to choose. I am going to pray. I am going to do what's right. I'm going to seek for what is good. And that will be an excellent turning and a very profound turning point in your life. Time. There's another hedge. I love that explanation of how do you spell time, or how do you spell love? You spell it T-I-M-E. And I've been told in past sermons, this is the time when children look at their parents in the pews and say, Father doesn't know how to spell. But you grasp the point, we all do, that the true indicator of love is the time that we are willing to spend with somebody. And that means in a sacrificial way, not just because it's great feeling or, you know, there's advantages for us. No, when there isn't the feeling, when there isn't the inclination, and we make that conscious decision, I'm going to spend time with those I love. I would like to do this else. I've got plenty of things to do, but I'm going to make the time. And of course, if husband and wife are making that time for each other, and that's less of a chance for time to be spent somewhere else where it shouldn't be. It is most definitely a hedge. A very, very strong hedge, and it always results in greater love for one another. I think we also have to talk about avoiding occasions of sin. This is a most critical hedge. As we know, we're surrounded by occasions of sin. Movies, magazines, television, internet, smartphones. You can get internet through phones now. The death to the soul is only a couple of clicks away sometimes. That is the kind of world that we live in. And I bewail the checkout stands at grocery stores, the gall, I believe, that the managers are showing that they don't mind putting trash. It's trash, spiritual trash, putting it in front of the children. Where is their sense of responsibility? Those magazines are all about indecency, how to destroy marriage. It's these celebrities, they don't know how to make a marriage work. They maybe 1 out of 100, it seems like. Why do they have to put this out there to destroy the moral fiber of children and even adults? It's not good for anybody to look at that. So we are going to have to be strong. My dear brethren, we are going to have to be heroic to not only avoid the occasion of sin, but if we find ourselves in an occasion of sin without any fault of ours, we're going to have to get out of it. We have to be strong enough to get up and leave. You know, when you think about this, you see Scripture upholding this. The hedges for marriage are in Holy Scripture. Look at the book of Proverbs, how it tells us how to guard our eyes. Guard our externals, so not foolishly putting ourselves in danger. Our Lord tells us in the Sermon of the Mount that, you know, to look at someone with lust is to be committing adultery of the heart. So we're going to have to be very, very careful to avoid the occasion of sin. And it is, of course, nothing less. I mean, that's for everybody in general, but it's also a hedge for marriage. And just the thought of your spouse helps to also avoid dangerous situations. Would my spouse approve? And if not, if the answer is no, then shouldn't be there, shouldn't be watching that, should get out of that situation. Again, a very important hedge. In this connection also, let's talk about modesty in dress as a hedge. And I do believe there's that correlation that the more immodesty there is, the more problems there are going to be regarding marriage, because it does protect. We have to be careful about tight, revealing clothing, because what's its purpose? To show off the body. And now we don't take it to an extreme. And it's interesting to see how Pope Pius XII upheld or taught the validity of reasonable fashion, especially speaking here to the women. He didn't condemn fashion, but he did condemn immodest fashion. So it has to be within virtuous bonds. And may I emphasize in this point, my dear brethren, our morality is not that of Hollywood. Our morality is that of Scripture. And we must keep telling ourselves that. Because you see, the challenge is we have to live in the world but not be of the world. And not to take our morality or our cues about morality from the world, but rather take our cues from the teachings of Jesus Christ. You know, the bishop mentioned a story to us priests this past week. We did discuss this, this area. I mean, we have responsibilities as priests, obviously, to talk about it. And he mentioned about one young lady who, I believe she's wanting to marry a traditional Catholic young man. And either she's not Catholic or perhaps Vatican II Catholic or just not practicing but trying to get into it. But she asked the bishop quite directly, what's the big deal about modesty? Why do you talk about it? And I think the bishop was joining them for dinner at a restaurant. And the bishop pointed out this way. He said, you know, how would you like it if the next booth over there was a young lady immodestly dressed, and then your fiancé or your boyfriend, whoever, I'm not sure the exact status, and it's a problem for him, and he's gawking at her. Well, how would you like that? And she acknowledged his point, said, you know what, you're right. There is a responsibility I have to take. And, of course, we all do. Young men have to take that responsibility. Young ladies have to take that responsibility. All men, all women, they have to take responsibility according to their role, according to their gender, to not provide the occasion of sin. And, again, this is a hedge for marriage. It upholds God's sacred ordinance of marriage. So just something to reflect upon from time to time. Perhaps do a little examination of conscience. Do I have, or do I make use of clothing that in a reasonable way can be construed as an occasion of sin or sinful? Most important thing, as we know, is to let one's inner beauty or virtue shine more than anything else. And this would be the best governor of fashion, to enhance one's spiritual qualities, which are the most important ones of all. One last thing, and I'm not completely finished today, but as I said, we'll talk about openness and communication next time. But just to conclude on this note for today, is renewing marriage vows. Now, technically, they're not vows; they're the covenant or the contractual or covenant agreement. I take you, for better, for worse, etc. But just that idea of saying those words to each other from time to time. And this is, I think, one of the really, really special things about the Valentine's Day event that we have here. We try to have it every year, and there is in the ritual of the church, there's a short renewal of that where the husband, the wife say, I take you again for better. For worse. You see, what's so strong and powerful about that is one is renewing that act of the will, and that's the highest determining factor about us, that we have that ability to choose to commit, to recommit, to even, you know, say, I will overcome difficulty for a purpose. And so from time to time, just take each other again, renew the vows of marriage. I know as religious, we have it as a custom in our prayers to renew our marriage, our religious vows to God, to renew them again. Try to put ourselves back like it was the first day and again say it. And of course, conscious of our weakness, conscious of our failings, but the will is saying, I'm going to keep moving in this direction. So may we all in our walk of life, religious, married, single, whatever the will of God is, whatever mission in life He has for us, let us do it with our whole heart, with prayer, appealing to Him, to Blessed Mother to help us, and not forgetting the important hedges that we want to have in our daily lives according to our state in life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.